so that's part of it until after that's over. But do miss them, every one, when they're not here. Some of them. But good to see you here this morning. If you're a visitor, we're just happy to have you, and just make yourself at home. And I tell you, our Bible reading went great. We had everyone that was signed up was there. Didn't have any problems with that. We had all the words was pronounced correctly. Had some words added. We're not going to get into that in church, especially one of them. But I felt sorry for Colton. Colton got First Chronicles, and it was, if you've ever looked at First Chronicles, it is name after name after name for nine chapters. And Larry felt so sorry for him, he said the wind blew the page over. But Colton done a great job. I couldn't even come close to some of the names he pronounced, and all of our others done a great job. But I just want to tell you, I appreciate the, maybe we didn't know all the words, but we was there. Amen. And we was willing to be there and sacrifice our time to be there. And had one was ready to, said that she don't think she voted for me that night. She was ready to do away with me when she thought she was going to get Chronicles. But when Colton got it, it was okay. She was back. She was happy again. But we did have a good time, and I laughed a lot that night. But again, I appreciate you. Appreciate you being there and doing that. It's a great thing for us to do. And I said all along that the Bible reading was important. Of course, anytime you read the Word of God, it's important. And, you know, I think we felt like sometimes, well, why am I doing this? There's nobody here to listen. But I think the most important was it was a community willing to come together and take time, 15 minutes out of your schedule, some read more than that, to do something for the Lord. And I think it's the start of a revival. If we can commit ourselves to something, we can start to commit ourselves to God's way. So, again, I appreciate you. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get started?
Remember my dad? He thought he was having a heart attack Friday. Had to go to the emergency room. They did some blood work and sent him to his cardiologist Monday. So he'll go for stress tests and all that. So
remember that. We've got several be traveling today in different directions, so be much in prayer for those. And I know there's several families in our community that has lost loved ones suddenly. Be much in prayer for those. And we've got several with cancer and different illnesses. We'll pray for each one of those. Anyone else have one? Don't want to skip anybody. We're all quiet. Also, this time of year, remember our seniors. Have those young ones graduating and going off into life, and before long you'll be saying what Amberly says, this adult stuff ain't fun, but it's part of life. And again, pray for those. Anyone else? We don't. Terry, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Stand and join us in our call to worship.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters see. sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed. Saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Thank you. All right, this morning I get the honor and privilege of recognizing some graduates this morning. I was looking over there before we got up, and the definition of a graduate, it means someone to successfully complete a course of study. And I thought that was really cool, because I know I've got two over here and two over here that successfully completed their course of study. These going on to the next grade, and these going on to work, college, or whatever God has in store for you. So this morning we'll recognize you four. First, we'll recognize a pre-K graduate, Miss Gracie Cotton. Next, we'll recognize a fourth grade graduate this morning, Mr. Aiden Cochran. Chad, if you will, can you pray for our elementary graduates this morning?
I will. Father, we come to you again. Thank you for this day that you brought us all together. Father, we thank you for these young ones, Father, and what they mean to our church, what they mean to our families. Father, we pray that you ever keep your hand upon them, and that we as leaders lead them closer to you and towards you. Father, we ask you to be with our church as we take responsibility of leading all these young people, and that you let us see the great responsibility that it is, and we do it with all seriousness. Father, we ask you to bless them as they go forward in their school life and their lives. Father, just show them that you're the only way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Y'all can be seated. Thank y'all. All right, next this morning I get the pleasure of recognizing some high school graduates. These two guys have been with our group for quite some time, and over the last year and a half, I've had the pleasure to get knowing these two young men, and what two great young men that they are. I'll say this for both of them, two very hardworking young men. This morning, I've got the honor and the privilege of getting to introduce you to and recognize you to, and that's very humbling for me. It's tough on a youth pastor to see people leave your group, but it's a lot easier to see them leave in this way, by graduating high school and moving on to the next level of your education or of your life, basically, and whatever you're going to do the next step. So this morning I'm going to ask Trey Cotton. He'll come up. Trey, you'll stand right here. Trey is a real dynamic part of our group. We laugh at Trey. We laugh with Trey. So he adds a lot to our group. And I've told them all this before. You know, our group is not the same when you're not here with us.
Amen.
And each and every person in our group makes the group even better. So. We thank you, Trey, for allowing me last year and a half, man, to get to minister to you and get to know you. So the next is Brandon Sanders, a.k.a. Ray Ray. So Ray Ray came to our group one night, and we had a small group study for the guys, and Ray Ray came in with a friend, and man, he was reading with us, and he was engaged, and so at the end of the service, I asked him to pray, put the new guy on the spot, right? And then about 2 weeks later, come to find out that Ray Ray was lost as a goose, and now I can see the difference in his prayers and him being on this side of salvation and being on the other side when he first got here. So, you know, Ray Ray adds a lot to our group as well. He seems to be like he's always there for people when they need him to be. He's cuts up with everybody and laughs. So he's a good kid. So we've been real fortunate over the last, I guess, year now for us to get to know Ray Ray. This morning I'm gonna ask Keith, if you will, to pray over these, and then after that, you guys can be seated. Keith.
Father, we are so thankful for a time we can come and, Father, recognize these two. Father, I thank you for what they have meant to me in my life and ministry here. Father, as they go up on their next step, whether it be school or through the workplace, Father, I pray that you would be with them.
Amen.
Father, that we would encourage them, that we would care for them. And Father, that you would always be with them, and Father, that they would realize that they need you more now than they have ever. Father, again, I just thank you for the lives that these two live, for their families. And our Father, as they embark on this journey, I just, again, want to just ask you to continue to be with them. Lead, guide, direct in all their decisions. In Christ's name we ask these in all prayers.
Man, I graduated last year, in case y'all need to know that. That's the reason I was mentioning it. Proud of these graduates. It's something to be proud of. And as I tell our girls, and once you get out of there, real life begins. And it can be hard, but it's God will bless you, and it's very rewarding. So appreciate that. Appreciate Brandon working with this youth. They we're so very blessed to have him to work with him. So y'all be much in prayer for him as he leads these young ones. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse number 1. This did come from the Bible reading. Someone was reading it, and man, this just stuck out as it hit me. And I began to pray about this thing. And if I got a title for this message, it would be Don't Sell Your Vineyard. Don't sell your vineyard. It's in 1 Kings chapter 21. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Read through about verse 4 or 5, where the Lord felt like it's time to stop. But I want you to listen to this as I read. We was reading the other night, and I know it seems like we read for 15 minutes, but as I was paying attention this one time, and I wasn't laughing, this stuck with me. But listen as I read this. It says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good unto thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Father, thank you for this word this morning. Lord, I thank you for the service we've had thus far and the song service. But Father, I ask that you send your spirit to be in our midst this morning, that, Lord, that we may hear you speak and that we may open our hearts and minds and be obedient to the words that you tell us to speak. And Father, I just ask you bless every home represented in this place. And Father, I pray that New Harmony Baptist Church will be a light in this community, that the Lord can see you through us. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I began reading this, I began thinking about a simple vineyard. Of course, I've never had a vineyard, never been much of a farmer at all, but I knew it was from God, Terry. Do you hear that? I got amen from my wife. Listen, I began thinking about those vineyard, and you know, a lot of us today don't have gardens even. Many people, some still do, but a lot. When I began thinking about our vineyard, I began thinking about that most of us wouldn't sell our vineyard. We wouldn't do it. Most of us wouldn't leave the inheritance that God has given us. But not only do I want you to consider today is not selling your vineyard, I want to know today what shape your vineyard's in. What shape is your vineyard in? As I began thinking about this, as Naboth had this, and God had had given this to Israel. This is the land that God had given Abraham way back when, and Naboth had enough care for God to realize that this was God's inheritance that he had given him. It wasn't his own. And may I tell you today that the Christian life you have today is God's. He gives it to you to live for him. This is not yours, so you really can't sell something that's not yours. It's been given to you today for a gift. But I began thinking about our vineyards, and you realize something, that God gave every one of us a spiritual vineyard at the time of salvation. We was given a spiritual vineyard. You look up the meaning of vineyard, it's simply a place where grapes are grown. It produces fruit. You don't plant a vineyard and hoping you won't get any fruit. And God didn't put a vineyard in mind in your life, not expecting fruit out of it. And it goes right along with what Brother Terry taught Wednesday night. We taught a lot about this same thing we're going to preach about. And I began thinking all week about what Terry had taught and all. And I've been thinking about how Naboth was given this vineyard from his father. And I began thinking about my vineyard in my spiritual life. It was given to me by my heavenly father. And I want to tell you something today. Mine's not for sale. Mine's not for sale. I don't care how much he offers us. I don't care how much he shows you what you're missing. And he even told Naboth, he said, I'll give you another piece of land, or I'll give you money, whatever you want today. And is that not exactly like Satan today? If you'll just denounce God, I'll give you anything. If you'll just follow my way, then I will bless you more than you've ever been blessed. And I guarantee you, these words will come to all of our graduates in the coming months that, hey, if you'll just forget that stuff, just follow me, as old Satan will tell you, then I'll bless you more than that church ever will. But young ones, may I tell you something? In the name of God, do not sell your vineyard. Hang on to that thing. It was given to you by God. It's something special, and you need to hold on to it. You need to cultivate it, and you need to make sure that thing is producing fruit. Let's get into a vineyard just a little bit. Boy, this was good. I don't know if y'all are going to enjoy this as much as I did, but I really enjoyed it. When I began looking at where I used my old friend Google, and I Googled, where does a vineyard start? Where do you start with a vineyard? Well, obviously we're not too dumb around here. You got to have a piece of land. You got to have a piece of land. But after that, obviously you got to plant a vineyard. And you see, people don't start out with a single grape seed and begin planting a vineyard. What they do is they go out and they get a piece of vine that has already been established. And boy, you can shout about this right here. Me and you today, we have been given a true vine. You turn to John, chapter number 15. Let me show you something about where your vineyard got its start at. If you was going to start a great vineyard, you know what you do? You go to California, you go to somewhere that is famous for growing vineyards, and you get you some of the best stock to start with. You start out with the best vine you can. And I want to tell you something today, people. I don't know of a better vine you can start out with than Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. If you're going to start a vineyard today, you must start out with a true vine. You must start out with a vine that is proven, one that produces good fruit, or guess what you're going to end up with? You're going to wind up with bad fruit. But we're starting today with the best vineyard and the best vine has ever been given to man, and that's Jesus Christ. The moment of salvation was something happened in our lives. In Romans chapter 11, verse 17, listen what happens. It says, some of the branches be broken off, now being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. You see, Israel didn't accept Jesus Christ. They didn't. He came to his own received him not. So immediately, the Gentile nation was grafted in to this vine. And then you'll think about that today. And I studied a little bit about being grafted in. And do you know that if a graft is done right, it becomes just as good as an original vine? Boy, what about that today? Me and you, who was a lost Gentile, and you studied about Gentiles who were nothing as dogs to the people, and we have been grafted into this true vine, which is Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something today. We shouldn't take our vineyard and take it lightly, because we should be producing fruit. Because a vineyard is to be producing fruit for God. But I'm sad to say a lot of us are sitting over here and our vineyards has gotten grown up and we allow things to come in and choke them out, and we're not taking care of them at all. We take it for granted. But listen about this vine. God planted it. It says, if you study how to start, they start with a shoot of a vine, or either they graft it in there. And it tells us something else that I like here. If you read on in John chapter 15, I never got there. I got so excited I forgot to get to that place. But in John 15, listen to what it says. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So today, you know what mentally are? We're to be branches. We're to be branches. We're to be branches that have been tied into this vine we got. The moment our vineyard was started, me and you become something known as a branch. And I began reading about this and studying commentaries, and one writer said something that broke my heart and made me want to shout at the same time. It said, branches are only good for two things. Branches are only good to produce fruit or to burn. You can't take a branch off of a grapevine and build anything. Take a branch off of an oak tree and build anything. But you can take a complete oak tree and you can take it to the sawmill and you can cut it up and you can build a house, you can build a church, you can build a building. But listen, a branch, if it's not providing fruit, all it's good for is to be burned. Boy, Lord, to speak to us today, y'all. We have been branches grafted into this vine, the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. It was planted and we're connected there. And I began trying to think about words that will show you exactly about. And I didn't know that somebody had been out picking cotton all day. And we had these things here. Is this going to be perfect if I don't make a mess? But look. Man, these things tied in a knot. Look at this. You see this right here? That's a branch. That's a branch. You know what's on the end of that branch? Fruit. Which in this case is cotton. And this branch at one point in its day was connected to a whole cotton plant, if that's what you call it. Connected to that, and this thing began producing fruit. But once you break this off, guess what it can't do anymore? It cannot produce fruit. It must be abiding in the vine to produce fruit. And the reason our churches today are not providing much fruit for God is because we have separated ourselves from the true vine. We have separated ourselves from the vine, and without it, we get no nutrients, we get no water, we get no soil, we get nothing that we need to grow, and we're sitting here as a bunch of stagnated vineyards. Bless God, we all ought to shout. We're sitting here today wondering why our church is not going good, why is people not being saved? Listen, if we had a vineyard that was producing as much fruit as I'm producing for God, I'd cut the thing down and forget about it, Brandon. But listen, the Bible says that God is a husbandman. And you know what that simply means? He's the caretaker. He's the caretaker. So he's planted this vineyard. And where are the branches? And actually, these branches only have two uses. They're either to grow fruit or to burn. And I can't imagine today thinking that that's how our lives are saw with God. If we're not producing something good for him, then we're not doing anything for him. Then we're sitting here as a bunch of stubble that is good for nothing. But I'm beginning to think about this and how. How can we begin to bear fruit? And I began studying about these vineyards after they had the right stock to start with, the right vine. Husbandmen began taking care of these vines in the way they should, and something happens that the scripture calls as purging the vines. Purging the vines. Now look up the word purge that in the original Greek Hebrew simply meant to keep clean. It meant to keep clean. And listen, it said that also part of this cleaning process is the pruning process. And I don't know much about pruning trees. Every time I've ever tried it, Rudy, they die. But listen, in a true vineyard, the person who is to keep the vines pruned is the most trained man, is the most educated man in vineyards, is the most proven man that there is to keep the vineyard in check. And it is no wonder today that Jesus says in his scriptures that our caretaker is God. He's the husbandman. He's the one that does the pruning. He's the one that knows exactly where to cut. He knows exactly what to touch out of my life. He knows exactly what to take out of my life. And he knows exactly when to put something alive so I can produce the most fruit. But I always thought, Brandon, that when you prune something, you got rid of the bad stuff. But you see, in pruning vineyards, a lot of times they cut away some good stuff. A lot of times they cut away some vines that are even producing some fruit. But it's not choice fruit. It's not the best fruit. And listen, there's some things in our lives sometimes that God must cut out so me and you can produce the fruit that we was meant to produce. Some great things in your life that you're doing for the community, for the church, or different things. But bless God, they're not what God has meant for you to do. You're not producing the fruit you're supposed to produce. So God has to come in. He has to begin clipping that away. And immediately you become a vine that produces the fruit that God would have you to produce. I began thinking about a vine. I don't think they got feelings, Terry. Does any of y'all know? I don't think they can feel nothing. But if I was a vine, I could feel something. You think about when a husbandman comes and he begins clipping. He begins clipping branches away. If that was me and you, we would begin screaming. We begin saying, oh, I need that. Don't take that away, God. That's a good thing. I'm doing this for my community, God. I'm doing this good. Oh, I'm just doing so much good. Don't take that good stuff away. Hey, what are you doing? That branch wasn't even bad. And all the time, the husband, I told you, was the most trained there was to be in grapevine. Exactly what to cut away, when to cut it away, and how clean to keep it. Is it no wonder that God put in the scriptures here? Listen to what he says. After he talks about purging it, that it may bring forth more fruit, he says something else. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know how you're clean, how God purges? Most of the time it's with this word of God. You begin reading this thing, you begin abiding in this word, and you begin producing fruit. He cleans you. He keeps the vine clean so that it's fruit. And scripture tells us he desires that we produce much fruit. That's why he wants to keep us as clean as we can, as perfect as we can be, because he desires you to be the grapevine he has called you to produce, and not just produce one little grape over here and one over there. Yes, he's satisfied with every soul that's saved for him. I believe that. I believe he's satisfied with every word we teach for him. But bless God, he will accept nothing but our best. He knows exactly what Rudy Rooks is capable of. He knows exactly what Brandon's capable of. He knows what you're capable of, what I'm capable of. Unless we're doing exactly what he's called us to be, then we are unfruitful vine. You see, I look at a vine. If that thing's loaded with grapes, I'll say, that's a grapevine. But somebody who really knows about the grapevines will come out and look and say, I don't know. Grapes look a little puny. Grapes look a little sick. You see, God is the caretaker. He knows exactly what they look like. He knows exactly what it should be producing. And if it's not, he's got to do something about it. He's got to begin cleaning. When is that time? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you ever had a time in your life when God began trimming some things? Have you had a time when God began cutting away some things? And you said, now, wait a minute, those are good things. Take away this bad, God. I've got a lot of bad. Don't take it away. I promise you, we all have had times that God has come out and cut some things out of our lives and cleaned up. Every time I study the Word of God, he begins cleaning me. I see ways that I have failed him. I see a sin in my life that needs to be gotten out. And the reason that our vineyards get grown up today is because we don't stay in the Word of God. We don't stay in it. And the thorns begin growing up. And begin choking at that thing. I can remember when I was a kid, my grandmother, she's where I get my shortness from. It's the only thing I've ever had against her. She's a great woman. Her fault, I'm short. She's about just 4 foot. I don't know how tall. She ain't very tall. But I can remember in the day that she'd be out there, my grandpa would say every year, I'm going to plant a few watermelons. And he'd plant about 5 acres. And he was like me. He wasn't too crazy about work. But he'd plant those watermelons, and every day my grandmother was a lunch lady. She'd come home from school, she'd put a bonnet on her head, like old women did in that day. She would get a hoe, she would walk over that garden, and until dark she would be ground. Because she was trying to get that watermelon vine to produce the best fruit. She would work all day. And you know what she was doing the whole time? She was cleaning it. She was cleaning it. All those weeds would suck up the nutrients that the watermelon vine stand in need of. They would begin choking it out, and if you didn't take care of them, it would grow up and your watermelons wouldn't produce. But my grandmother, that was the worst thing you could do is let your vines grow up. She'd keep them things as clean as a whistle. And every year, before things got like it was, my granddaddy would donate them to Ramburn High School, and we'd eat watermelon one day a year that my granddaddy provided. And he got all the credit for it, but all along with my grandmother hoeing it, keeping it clean. Those things would produce great melons. Not only did she have to clean them, she began fertilizing them. She began keeping, make sure they was able to have the nutrients they needed. You see, my grandmother don't know nothing about keeping watermelon vines as God does about vineyard. God keeps this thing clean. He desires it to be clean. And unless we abide in that vine, this branch can't do anything. I can't produce any fruit. So he purges it to keep it producing, to keep it going. Listen what else he does. God produces. It's not me that produces fruit. It's not you that produces fruit in our lives. That's why I said we must stay abiding in this vine because it's God. Does anybody out here understand how in the world an apple grows? I don't. Now, I know that we can buy an apple tree, or you can buy a seed and get you a greenhouse. You can plant one of your own. You can go to Lowe's. You can buy an apple tree about that tall or however. You can plant that thing. In a few years, it'll start bearing apples. But listen, other than putting it in the dirt, I understand exactly zero how that thing produces apples. All I can tell you is God had it set up perfectly. And listen, not only does it produce apples, you know what it does? Each apple that's produced contains seeds that reproduces more apples. You see where God's going here? Hey, when I give in to God and I'm kept clean and I'm able to abide in the fruit, and then God begins bringing fruit through me, and the fruit that I produce, it begins producing more fruit, and before long we got a nation on fire for God. Amen. It's amazing, ain't it? That God, simple little branch like you and me, he begins producing. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Church, why is it that we read this and then we go out today and we forget it, and we come in here on Wednesday night and we begin saying we're going to grow our church, we're going to make things happen, we're going to save the city of Heflin, we're going to save Cleveland, we're going to save Alabama, and why do we do this? And all along, never, many times when we enter this building, we don't consider in our minds that if any fruit's going to be given, it's going to be of God. It's him. We must abide. Many times we plan him right out of the service. We plan him right out of our classes. We plan him right out of our messages. And we do all this, and I begin thinking about how great a message can I preach so those sweet little ladies will brag on me when they go out. Oh, what can I do? And listen, that's your heart. All these words I'm hollering and screaming up here amount to zero. God produces fruit. I don't produce fruit. I'm simply a branch that must be connected. And God produces it. Listen to them. Let me read further. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'd be very smart to understand that. Unless you abide in God, unless you stay connected to that true vine, then guess what? You're not going to produce any fruit. You're going to be a weak, non-producing grapevine that's no good for anything but to be cast out, to be gathered out, and be thrown into the fire and burn up. You are absolutely no good without God. Don't mean to hurt your feelings, but it's truth. Unless we abide in him, we can do nothing. If a man abide not, cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you notice a pattern in keeping our vineyard right? Do you notice a pattern? I began seeing it as soon as I began studying this, a pattern that God give us. Listen, God had to plant the vineyard. Now, there's no other way that you can produce fruit unless you're in. Unless you're saved today, you can do anything you want to, and you can't produce any fruit. You must be born again, the Bible tells us. It says the Spirit of God draws men, and men have a choice to say yes or no, and the only thing we have to say in this thing is faith. The only thing I got into it. My works is nothing. It don't matter how many sermons I preach or how many lessons I teach, unless I believe in Jesus Christ as a risen sacrifice for my life, I can't do anything. Amen. I don't have a vineyard. But once that vineyard's planted, then he purges it. He prunes it through the Word of God. I have got to, once I'm saved, I've got to stay in the Word of God, or it's impossible to produce any fruit. I can come up with great ideas. I can come up with great programs. I can come up with something that looks like it's going to work. But unless I am plugged into God through his word, I can do nothing. We must stay in the word. And then he says it. Abide in him. And my words abide in you, and you shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. Church, we got to pray. We got to pray. If we're going to produce fruit, we got to pray. We got to stay on our knees before God and cry out to God. Listen, what we don't understand is churches in today's time, we send men to school. And listen, I go to Bible college. I'm not throwing off on them. I do it myself. We send men to these great universities. We get them all these PhDs, all these other letters behind their name. And we put them in churches and say, surely they can grow a church. Surely they got the key to doing this. Listen, unless a man abides in Jesus Christ and the Word of God, he cannot produce any fruit. He may have all the knowledge in the world, but he's no good. But to be burned, he must abide in God. God produces. I don't. I can preach what God lays on my heart, but I can't make a single heart change. I can preach what God lays on my heart, but I can't make a single life come closer to God. I can preach what God lays on my heart or teach what he lays on my heart, and I can't save the community of Cleveland County. But God can. Amen. You see what he wants to do today and summon all this yelling and hollering up? He wants me as a branch to case connected to that vine. Once I became broken off, how many of you have ever cut any branches off a tree? It takes a little bit, but in a few days, that thing, the leaves will turn brown. Then you go put them on a big pile, and what do most of us do in the country? We burn them. Some people put them in piles, let them rot. I know that, but listen, We burn them. We can't do anything unless we stay in there. I want you to see something today, church. Our vineyard was purchased by God, the Father, with the precious blood of His Son. It's not ours to sell. Can't sell it. It's no good without Him. It's His vineyard. I'm simply a branch of it. I'm simply a branch, but it's up to me to decide what I'll do with that vineyard. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. You see, a lot of times I think my decisions are my decisions. It affects nobody. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Church, your life is not your own. Once you become, you are purchased with a great price. I think it's in 1 Peter. It says, you've not redeemed with corruptible things, such as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your vineyard has been purchased at a great cost. Your Father has given it to you as an inheritance. The Scripture says that not only we become saved, we become sons of God. Then if we become sons of God, we become an heir to the inheritance. Let me ask you a simple question as we close today. How's your vineyard? Your vineyard? Or for some of us, have we sold it? Have you sold your vineyard? Is it not even in your possession anymore? You sold out. Oh, Ahab has shown you some pretty pictures. He's shown you that, man, if you just turn away from God, you can have everything. Man, it'll be nice. Hey, he tried it with Jesus Christ, you remember? Took him up on a high place and showed him everything. Satan said, all this will be yours. And he was telling that to the very Son of God who already owned it all. And if he owns it all, the Scripture says me and you are an inheritance of God, of Jesus Christ. We're made co-equals with him through that. We become sons of God just as he's a son of God. We've been given a great inheritance. Will you sell? Or have you sold? You see, as I was studying this, I think I know our church. People have quiet times. They study the Bible. I don't believe these people would sell their vineyard. But church, I know this message was put on my heart for some reason. I think there's some of our vineyards in here today that has grown up. I think there's some of them that may be producing a grape or two, but I don't think they're producing what God has called us to produce. I think this is the greatest church in the whole county. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. And if you don't think it is, then I don't want to run you off, but you need to find somewhere else. I think it's the greatest place. Opportunity to reach a lost world than any church in this area. I think we did. We got some talented people. We got some people that understand the Word of God. We got some people that have a heart for God. But listen, unless all of us is into this vine, unless we're abiding, we can't produce any fruit. We can come up with all the great meetings we want to, revivals, women meetings. I'm proud of it. I heard y'all had a great time. We can come up with Bible, come up with all these great things. But unless our churches are abiding in Christ, we can provide no fruit. We just as well be put in a pile and burn up. How is yours today? God's the husbandman. Most people that are managers of anything know exactly what condition it's in. If they don't, they're not a very good manager. If you're a manager of your place of work, what shape that business is in. You know the financial situation. You know the worker situation. You know all the products. You know everything about it. Today, the Scripture I read you said God is our husbandman. He's our manager. He's the caretaker of my vineyard. When He walks through, is He pleased? When He walks through, does He say, well, that thing's growing up. That thing's growing up. I believe we got the Scripture teaches the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. It teaches that we are drawn. He puts a, it's our nervous system, if you want to say it that way. God put nerves in us when I'm a small child and I reach down and I touch a stove and it burns me. Guess what I don't do? I don't touch it again. Puts nerves in us to protect us as the Holy Spirit is the nerve system of our spiritual body. When that thing pricks our heart, it begins wanting to cut stuff out. Do I allow it to be pruned? Oh God, that one's mine. That thing's got a little bit of fruit on it, God. You don't need to cut that. Listen, church, until we get to the point where we fully surrender that thing to God and say, God, make my vineyard what you'd have it to be, our vineyards are not going to be pleasing to God. You may be producing some fruit, but I don't think we're producing what God says we can. He's a husbandman. He can keep us in great shape, but we must yield to Him. As our singers come forth, musicians come for a verse of song. Farewell. I'm glad I can't look and see your vineyard, because you know why? You'd be able to look and see mine. But I'll be honest with you today. As I began studying this, I figured out something. I'm producing about 0.00 of the fruit I can be producing. You know why? Because God, that scripture says God bears the fruit. And if God bears the fruit, it don't matter how good I am. Don't matter how good you are. If I'll just yield my vineyard to God, produce the fruit it's to produce. It may be one soul the whole time I'm here. It may be one soul the whole time I preach or teach. It may be one, but listen, if that's what God had your vineyard to be, then that's what it is. But I don't believe it's that, because the scripture said they provide much fruit. Now you begin studying about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are fruits that we produce as we become still connected to the vine. The reason we're not producing it is because we're not connected anymore. We have allowed sin to come in and to cut those branches off. No, you're not lost again. Can't be. The scripture teaches against that. But our communication with God has become hindered. The husband is not able to come in and clean as he wants to. So our vineyard becomes grown up, becomes producing little fruit, if any. I'm afraid, church, that's where most of our churches stand in today's time. We're a group of people that's producing very little fruit. You see, I've said for years, and you'll hear me say it a lot in preaching, the problem with our country, the problem with our world, with our state, and everywhere else, don't lie within the lost people. It lies within God's people. He says it in Scripture. Nowhere in there does he say, if this one will do this, if this lost Muslim will do this. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn their wicked ways, then will I heal their land. Will I hear from heaven? Where are you at today? How's your vineyard? As we sing.